Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brain Trust podcast. My name is Adam Vass, and I'm a tabletop game designer in Glendale, California.
My name is Will Epps. I'm a game designer, tabletop, that is, in Boston, Massachusetts, America. Adam, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Just drinking a little E&T in the morning.
An E&T?
Espresso and tonic.
Ooh, you know what I'm about to crack?
A beverage.
You know what you're hearing right now?
Dr. Pepper cream soda.
Dr. Pepper cream soda. No, I'm not a freak. I don't drink cream soda. I'll give you the ingredients, and then you'll tell me what it is, okay?
Okay.
Are you pouring something? Do I hear a little pour?
Oh, I just picked up the E&T, and the ice is moving around.
Mm. All right. So it's got B vitamins.
Red Bull.
Nope. It's got taurine.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
No. It has L-carnitine.
A yerba mate.
Master Chief is on it.
A Monster Energy drink?
A Monster Energy drink.
Oh my gosh.
Unleash the beast.
If you would have told me when you hold the can upside down, it forms an upside down cross, then I would have got to Monster right away.
I love that video. That is one of the best videos. Astonishing. Because she's just like presenting the information so well that you're like, you know what? This is satanic.
You do have a point.
You have such a good point right now.
Really masterful public speaking.
Everyone should watch that video to see how to sell a role-playing game.
Yeah, if you're at a con and someone's pitching their zine at you like that, you're walking away with that zine no matter what.
I'm going to buy it. There's a point where she holds up a big chart showing how all the satanic symbols, like the 666 on it and the crosses, and that the monster means the devil. It's really good.
Yeah, I wanted to find the video title to drop right now.
Do you want to watch it together and maybe we can break it down?
Yeah, there's a few. If you just search Monster Energy Lady, Monster Energy Drink is the Devil on YouTube, you'll get there.
Look at your M closely. There's a gap right here in the letter M. It's never connected. So you go into Hebrew. The letter Vav is also the number 6.
Whenever I pause it keeps going.
No worries.
Long tail. You could have here in
I can't get out of it.
We were not trapped in this
My
video.
Phone is possessed. My phone is possessed by the monster.
There's a cross.
Okay.
What has Christ got to do with an energy drink?
She's so good.
Let alone the name Monster.
Monster.
So I thought, well, maybe this is a Christian company then. BFC at the bottom of the can. Do you know what that stands for? That's the F word. Big can. In fact, they write it on the side of the can.
People who don't swear,
so
but they
I
still
know,
like
the F word.
Make
the
it,
space.
They like plant
now,
it in
you
your
know
head.
What a MILF is.
Big
yes, that's
can.
On the bottom. MILFs dig it, and you will.
I can't believe the
this is not a Christian
room that they're in right now. It's like a zine. It's in a zine fair kind of gymnasium.
What do you think the other tablers are peddling here?
666 in
Hebrew. Looks so bored.
And then the Bible talks about the beast in Revelation.
Boom.
Look at this.
Here I have printed 4 sheets of paper on my inkjet printer that are almost all black ink, and I've
like
taped them together.
Like guide where I had to build a giant pentagram out of 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper.
And look at it this way. Even if the M was not the issue, you cannot deny that that is a cross. And what is witchcraft? When the cross goes upside down.
What is witchcraft?
Bottoms up, and the devil laughs.
The way that ends.
Something to think
bottoms
about.
Up, wow. And the devil laughs.
This is how clever Satan is, and how he gets into the Christian home and a Christian's life, and it breaks God's heart.
Breaks God's heart when you drink Monster Energy drink. The idea of the cross is inverted when you hold the can upside down as you drink it. You know how normal people drink beverages out of cans completely upside down?
as you cartoon style finish, just polish off this, can't get the last drippy drop out.
Bottoms up and the devil laughs.
Isn't it fucking, so if you wear a crucifix, you should never be upside down. Anyway, I think we should all be selling our role-playing games like this.
I mean, you could definitely do, this lady could take a copy of Black Mass and go to the weird anti-zine fair, wherever this location is, and just, the same with Guide, too, and just, like, rip us a new one. We would never sell another game in this town again.
Or it'd be the best press of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I bet people want to drink a Monster Energy drink after watching that video.
It does make it seem cooler than what my association is, just like motocross drivers and paintballers like Monster.
They should combine those, huh?
Devil worshippers and paintballers? Yes.
Yes. What about a role-playing game where devil worshippers use satanic blood in their paintball guns?
I like that. Like Evil Splatoon.
Evil Splatoon.
Yeah, it's
Adam.
Not you, and you have like the Karen team that has like squirt gun holy water, and they're trying to like purge. It's like a Mario Sunshine aspect of like, I need to clean up this monster filth.
Yeah, you have to. There's all this unclean ichor around. So like, yeah, there's the team. There's the guns that shoot out kind of the sludge of God's blood everywhere, and then you obviously have the blood river guns. There's got to be something green and gooey.
Yeah.
Ectoplasm.
Oh,
where
that's
is
great.
Gross Splatoon?
Yeah, ectoplasm is great. Or, yeah, like soul crud, which is like, it's distinct from blood, right? Like it's a spiritual substance.
Yeah, it's what plasma is made out of. That's why plasma goes for so much right now.
I mean, I think we're already off to a banging start of this weird like faction battle.
Yeah. So you could play this game where players create levels. Like, so I play a lot of Splatoon with Seb, who's very good at Splatoon. So I kind of get my shit rocked every time and kind of learn some shit about game design. I played last night with Seb and Ajay Pandey, who is making Bolt. Did the Bolt Kickstarter, and they're just so good. And I was like, yeah, I'm at the dog shit level, so let's go get it. But so something Splatoon does is it switches up its level every hour. So you're constantly just getting to know a map and then getting thrown into a new one and a new game type. But they're all kind of revolved around splatting people, so getting them with paint, and then just covering the map with paint and stuff.
It's an area control, like combat structure, right? I have not played it. I only know from like video clips and the Splatoon character in Smash.
Yeah, I mean, the Splatoon character in Smash is very true to life. All the noises are the same. Can't wait for Minecraft, Steve. Go watch Viditya Valetti's Our Craft, which is a Minecraft show. Anyway, so the game has got to be building this level and then covering it with paint, making it the fucking unholy altar. And then, Adam, you play tower defense against each other or something.
Like, once you claim the turf, you still have to protect that turf. Or what if the turf is almost like your spray is there to claim space, but once the spray is there, it is like doing action, right? It's almost like, so take the like project dice in Quiet Year.
Yeah.
Not probably yes, where you I saw will. This going, but
yes, I will, Adam.
So I made God's blood puddle over here. It's quite large. It's like a 5 grid spaces or whatever. And I'm going to put a 4 project die on it. And if that 4 gets down to 0, I'm also kind of thinking of like the Guide Dare dice. Like as this number depletes, it like deploys whatever. It's like doing a summoning, right? Like from the God blood comes these like blood harvesters. So you have like infantry or minions kind of. That
yes.
do tasks, and they're kind of like autonomous, or maybe not. I mean, like I think in a board game they would be just like drony, more like troops.
It would
like
be
pawns.
Like the tower defense thing. Like you're kind of just sending. I mean, because you're only an agent of the ventricle of God, for example. And so the only thing you can do is just open that goddamn vein. And then they go for themselves. So, like, likewise, the people spraying holy water will just get, like, angels, weird eye angels pouring out.
Of course, like, it has to be the eye kind.
Yeah, it's definitely the eye kind.
But even
you get some Evangelion angels up in there.
To spread this out or, like, stretch it out a little bit, too. Thinking of it as, like, a Forged in the Dark game where these factions have like long-term goals and powers. So I think the board game or the action-y like grid-based or like combat-based game is a one-shot. But the idea of like, sure, we're gonna have this spray battle on Sunday, it's sanctioned in some way, I guess. But
that's the day that God rests.
We need to bless.
That's the only day you could spray everything.
We need to bless all this water to turn it into holy water so that we have adequate supplies for Sunday. And to do so, we need to meet like the fallen gold priest or whatever. And the fallen gold priest is in his high temple. So we're going to do like an extraction mission to get into the temple. And then this like conversation or combat or whatever with the gold priest to like win favor, and once that favor is won, then we have the ammo that is for like Sunday's battle. So you have these like faction goals effectively, and then you also have this like church-wide faction map of who controls what and how much power they have over like, what their relationships are with one another and stuff.
That like faction control map is the coolest thing about those factional online games, where you can see like, oh, this week my team, this was in a lot of For Honor. You can see like, oh, my team, the Vikings, you know, we have the most control over everyone. So having in some kind of like level meta play to connect together. So both like you at the table, but also you, your table in the grand scheme of everyone playing this game. I also had the thought that probably there should be the marrow hose, and you just go meet the tooth collector, and then, you know, that's who you upgrade from.
I just, that made it click for me too, of like, our factions, this is kind of what my, like, understanding of, like, competitive paintball was when I was in school too, to circle back to the inspo and the
when
Monster Energy
paintball
drink.
School.
You have like basically like your teams, or I mean, I guess this is any sport, right? So your teams have practice and scrimmages and stuff during the week. And then on the weekends, you have competitions against other teams. So you have this like role playing session, though, those like, I'm kind of thinking of like Adventurers League, but where you're just sort of like bound by your honor to not cheat.
Yes.
But so like during the week, we like the marrow collectors or whatever, like that's our team, and we have our story sessions and story games, and the results of them are mechanical in some way, whether it be higher power, higher ammo, more pawns or whatever. And then on the weekend we have our cross competitive, like,
ooh,
then that's when different tables who've been playing the same game in different ways, they come together and play this other like kind of meta game. I'm thinking of like Lancer too, where you have the story part and the mechanical crunchy combat part kind of distinctly two different things.
I love this. Yeah. And then you can just bring in this kind of old school D&D tournament play where everyone plays at this, you know, very constructed artificial way of playing because it is that kind of free for all day. It's like the big arena day. You get, I love that, taking Adventurers League energy and home group energy and how characters exist inside both of them, and you can take this more factional approach, kitting up your characters. Like, they can be both mechanical, or you can opt for only story-related rewards, so you can move along different storylines. Like, maybe you want to unlock the secret, like, spiderweb faction that splits off from a different one, and you get
for,
that one.
To make this maybe a little more utilitarian, but also this is admittedly a silly example, but it's making me think of Space Jam, because the movie is like Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes. The Looney Tunes have been on my mind for no particular reason. I sent like a stoned tweet at midnight last night, like, What if the Looney Tunes and the Muppets met? What would happen? and I'm still thinking about that. But so in Space Jam,
some time.
A good 70% of the film is just the Looney Tunes with Michael Jordan trying to figure out their team stuff. And then you have all these subplots of narrative, too, of like Bugs and Lola have the hots for one another. And Michael Jordan is removed from his family. That's probably more of a probably should have led with that one. And then you have the Monstars who are doing whatever it is most of the time off camera. The Monstars are training and like getting abused by their handler or whatever.
Yeah. Monstar and, energy drinks.
And that's it. That's the title. But then you have this culmination in the film of the Monstars versus the Toon Squad. And, but the movie has basically followed just the Toon Squad's preparations for this combat effectively.
Yeah.
So this ideology of dramatic story with mechanical results and then crossplay is really, really rich for really any kind of competition sport. I think people talk a lot about sports not having a place in story game and RPGs, and a couple people have like tried to come up with them, and
yeah, I think they're very wrong. It's exactly, there's so much stories in sports.
Right, yeah, this is a sports anime, right? Like this is how anime competition treats it.
I mean, it's just like actual following sports.
Right.
It's this understanding. I was watching this GDC talk about making nemesis, and it was using Shadow of Mordor for an example, but it talks about sports as epic conflict. And so you have these individual battles, like sports kind of itself lends itself to starting with the preseason and then games and then playoffs and then the championship. So it's like already a pretty natural climactic structure. And obviously the only thing it's missing is paintball guns filled with monster blood.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stuff. So do you want to take a break and then like focus on some more like minutia that we could add to this to make it more functional?
Yeah, let's see how you play the game. Welcome back to the Monster Energy sponsored Brain Trust podcast, Brain Monstar cast.
Yeah, we're in it and we're having a good old time.
We're going to figure out how this kind of carnage splatoon, what's a good word for it?
Yeah, I think it's got to have blood in it. I've been back and forth lately on naming conventions of just like the most on the nose and the least on the nose. And I'm really enjoying just like, if this was called Blood Battle or whatever, it would just be like, yo, that's what it is. Right. Like, you know what you're in for when you open the thing, like, oh, we're going to battle and there's blood involved.
I love that. So yeah, now let's figure out like what players do at a session. I kind of want this to be a GM-less kind of party RPG feel and game.
You know what I thought of during the break is feels really ripe for like a Firebrands, like your team, your the stuff that you do in between meets or competitions.
Meets spelled M-E-A-T-S.
Wow.
Wow.
The in-between stuff is like a mini game selection, right? Like today I'm going to scrimmage, or I'm gonna have like a one-on-one with my best friend. We're just gonna sharpen our skills and hang out, and we'll probably like reveal some desire that we have, right, or something. Whereas then you could also have like a gym day, and like gym day is a mini game where you can have like a mechanical advantage, but you're almost certainly going to run into someone at the gym that is like adversarial. Like you have like a mini competition of who can do the most lifts or whatever. I think Firebrand's model of like having all these different options that you can choose from is really great. And actually, this makes me think this is sort of what 3-Day Weekend is, but
yeah,
the most G-rated version of Blood Battle. This is just like Friend Battle, where you hang out with your friends and you get cards by doing certain actions. And then later in the game, you use those cards for story beats in a competition. Rather than cards here, though, we're having like actual numerical or mechanical like crunch added to it. And the competition is not automated. It is against an actual person playing your opponent, and they're playing to win. Like they're the protagonist of their story. You're their antagonist. So, I really like the idea of having mini games or modular stuff to do in between, but the actual head-to-head team-based combat or competition being somewhat structured. And even that, though, could be modular in like an Overwatch type of way, where it's like some of them were playing Capture the Flag, some of them were playing Escort the Payload, some of them is just like Team Deathmatch, right? Like the different competition has variants in it as well. So
yeah,
you would build a different mechanical advantage. Like you would practice differently if your meat was different.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's also a big benefit we have of being in a physical medium that we're just talking about basically painting landscapes. We can just have the meet be two people competitively painting on the same canvas or something like that.
Oh, I really love that. Actually, have you ever gone to that stuff in, I know there is like a live painting like scene in Boston actually, where you could like,
oh no,
I never went because I'm a weakling and I can't stay up late. But it would be at like midnight in some warehouse, and it'd be like, here's 8 graffiti writers, and they're all going to be doing pieces at the same time. So you like watch them live, and it has obviously like a party atmosphere to it, but there is a competition to it. It's kind of like any like barista throwdown I've ever been to, where it's like,
yes, yeah,
most of us are just here drinking coffee, but y'all are competing and like we're in the same space.
I mean, that energy, like bringing that energy to a table, even if it's like a digital space, you can just do this with a shared art board with, you know, different, any like any physics modeling or anything. That's just like super doable. And so I really like what you're saying about including the week ahead, the week before the meet. Because there is this feeling, if you ever play any sports, or sports movies have this too, you know, the other team, it just, they're people with their own stories, and you like immediately kind of clock people for who they are and how they interact with the people around them. So when you're using these benefits that you've basically farmed over the week by being a team player, or like having your own stories, you also get the other team's stories when they use their cards. And so they say like, oh, because you helped me figure out how to lace my shoes correctly, and it just was a, you know, a moment where we kissed or something, like building this romance on the team, you as the other player, and you know, they pull that card and explain it, and then pour a bunch of fucking melted gold paint because they know the gold profit. It's just really cool. It's just a really cool moment.
I'm thinking even too of something simpler, of like Jackbox, like when you draw in like TKO or some of the drawing games, and they're not necessarily based on your drawing skill, right? Like it's just part of it's knowing your audience. Part of it is just like the prompts that you're handed or whatever, and just how quick you are in the moment. But say, you know, like, oh, on Wednesday I did this Jackbox like practice run, and it warranted me an extra 15 seconds. So when we're all drawing at the same time, I actually get 15 seconds more than you to draw. So I'll have this implicit advantage, even though it's up to me to take advantage of that. Or, you know, everyone here is using red and blue, but I got a yellow marker too because I won some other thing. I'm sort of thinking too of like, this is sort of how a supermarket sweep works, where like, if you do good in trivia, you get more time in the competition round to go shopping, but everyone is going shopping at the same time, but you just might have 10 seconds head start, and that can make a huge difference. So I really like, yeah, this mechanical reward for putting the work in, but the work here is adding drama to a competition.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other player will just be able to tell you stories, and they don't have to, you know, do this acrobatic improvisation. They just, because it happened to them already. And because it seems like this could be a one-on-one or, you know, two-on-two style game, you can have other players playing simultaneously, because it's a big meet, and you'd all be doing this, paint sport against each other, the splatter sport. Ooh, is it called splatter sport?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty really good.
I like, damn, too, the idea that this is like league sanctioned, right? Like, so you have someone who's in charge in some way. And to think of the practicality of this, I think it's like a Discord central hub. And mm-hmm. then teams can have their own channels or own servers, I guess, depending on how you like choose to do it.
Some and those are baseball money.
Yeah, right? Like, you have a team, you can interact with your team in that space. There are still, like, the governing body of the competitive league can still, like, check in and make sure that you're not, like, cheating in the chat or whatever. Like, I guess, yeah. I don't know. But basically, there is someone who says, oh, this week, this team is combating this team in this event. And so, you can prepare, because then the idea too, like if you have eight teams, maybe not all eight of them are competing every week. So if you know that you don't have to be a part of the competition on Sunday, what do you do in your off time? Or what do you do to prepare for the next one, which might be 10 days away or something? So you treat it differently. But then in that same way, you could have either unsanctioned teams or, like, you know, if this was happening and the league was going already and we're like, oh, actually, we want to bring a brain trust team in. We're going to spray gray matter and here's our, like,
ooh,
thing. here's our, like, hook or whatever. Then the league runners or whatever could have either, like, you're either a developmental team and the rules work differently, or, like, you could earn your way into the higher competition. So, or you just have parallel leagues, like, I think we have just about so if we had our Discord and maybe there's 20 to 30 active people in there, if we said you had a team of three and that was like, that's your cap on team size, we could have a 6 to 10 team league away. But the idea of, like, if people join the Discord later and they want in on it, you treat it as like a West March's thing of, like, sure, you're allowed to join. We've already done five meets this season, so you're at a disadvantage. So you're either going to, like, acknowledge that you will not be part of the playoffs, or you could, like, earn it through some really crazy competition.
Or, like, because there's this, like, you know, larger than you, like, divine aspect to everything, you just get, like, the sponsorship. So, like, getting the sponsorship boosts you through and immediately brings you up to that high level. I mean, I'm kind of also thinking about a little bit of rubber banding stuff for folks that can't, you know, do the downtime sessions once a week. Every meet, you can only use 10 cards, and there's a randomly determined 10 cards that each meet has. But say you do all the Firebrand style mini games, getting to know your team and your friends and yourself, you know, you generate 30 cards. And so then you have a strategic choice to make about your loadout.
Yeah, this makes me think of Dice Masters too, of, like, I have many Dice Masters cards and dice, but when we play, I can only use however many I can use, like three or four on my team. So I might have 40 to choose from to make, like, an optimal build for the weekend competition or whatever. But that not everyone will have 40. You'll always have however many to start with. And you can earn more to, like, min-max your shit, but not everybody wants to or cares about min-maxing. And there's still just the sort of, like, luck aspect that exists in competitions of, like, I got dealt three really good cards at random and I didn't do any of the work and I'm still going to whoop ass this weekend.
And, you know, it is a community of other role-playing game designers. Firebrands just lends itself to making small mini-games. Every mini-game is going to yield a card or two, so people can just make their own mini-games for their team. And so teams have their branded stuff. It's like, you know, we're going to the Splatterpunk Blood Gym, and there's like a boxing machine that's really hard, and you or a speed bag, a boxing machine. it's a speed bag, and the speed bag, you know, vibrates at weird tempos that can give you headaches, and so dealing with that is a whole thing.
In that same way, other designers can build like what's the opposite of mini maxi games, like.
Yeah,
like I was saying with the Overwatch comparison of like if there's two main competitive modes that are like league sanctioned or whatever, no one's saying there can only be two. It's just like we started with two. So maybe in the patch notes, whether it like maybe even mid-season, it's like, surprise, here's a new competition. And it's actually like 3-on-3 active. So every member of your team is part of it.
Live and, drawing on
which,
the thing.
Which is different than the 1v1 or like two people working in parallel or whatever. Like there's game modes for the competition. There's game modes for the prep phase. And then maybe even there could be like meta game mode of like, if you run a league that's in any way like automated, like I'm thinking of, If Not Us, Then Who. So like if you run a game where you don't do or plot armor, like you're not acting out the actual competitions, you're acting out a season of competitions or describing a season of them. So instead of playing the drama and playing the competition, you're playing the season as its own game as this like meta thing. So
That's really cool.
If you don't have 20 people to make teams and do this live thing, you still get to engage with it. It's like you are the Blazeball commissioner. So
you're doing a great job.
You're watching games or competitions be automated by some way of drawing cards or whatever. You still get to engage with it as a game player. And I think then with that in mind too, there's maybe this fourth way of interacting, which is being a fan of a team.
Whoa.
And that has its own things too of like, I am a fan, so I'm going to donate a card to my favorite player. And that card yields an extra color of ink when the paint meet happens on Sunday.
Yeah, or your 15 seconds is at the beginning instead of at the end or stuff like that. That's really fucking good. And with that kind of simulated season, you can microscope, like, dial into Boom. Important games, and then you actually play each game itself, like, if you would want. Say you could do it as a duo game or whatever. So, because they all just evidently boil down into live drawing art games, which just feel like infinitely iteratable, you know, because it's your goddamn imagination. Like the levels I'm imagining would just be vector diagram structures on the quote unquote map that you then draw a part of.
My mind is buzzing. So
right.
I'm also thinking of like, this is a really great timing for us to spit a storm like this too, because people looking for a replacement for Inktober or like doing Drawloween or something, like all of a sudden you have 31 prompts for your meets. Like
yeah.
This week we're drawing a bat
really good.
And I'm like, we both start in the center of a bat and you have to draw the right half and the left half. And then we're competing against one another, but maybe they're like judge credential or whatever. It's like, how well could this creature fly at the end? But maybe you don't know that, right? Like, so you're you're working with one another, but you don't know that, and there's still a competitive aspect to it. Or you have like a canvas and it's not divided evenly, like you said, it's just blobs of saying like, oh, this 30% blob here that's just right kind of in the corner, team two is not allowed to draw anything in this blob. And so you can draw around it and you can integrate that space into your plan, but like you can't use it. So it's also like a a hindrance. So in addition to like, oh, you were awarded 15 extra seconds, like maybe there's this nefarious thing or sabotage of like in a lot of like Nintendo games, right? Of you're doing well, so we're going to even this out a little bit and throw a blue shell at you, right? Like,
yeah,
the losing team is never going to get hit with this blue shell. So we're going to, in addition to all these boons that you can win by prepping, there are banes that you can, I think, unleash. Because again, I think with our initial like Monster Energy fueled pitch, instead of just like sports as a whole, sabotage and like this sort of like nefarious element of it is really, I mean, really intriguing.
Then you get into what is a team composition like? So how's each player fulfilling a role? One role could just be interference, that you have a slightly like lighter opaque version of, say it's like the purple nightmares, like they just create nightmare dimensions out of thin air. And you know, one person is the colorist, so they're in charge of detailing inside lines. There's the line artist, and then there's the interference. And so like that is a fieldable team that you know, fucks with the other team. If you had three interferers or whatever, they then are able to work in, it's like fully aggro working inside the other team's area, like antagonistically. So I feel like you could, like if we establish like 10 roles or something like that, that determine if we decide, you know, on a digital art board, it boils down to what kind of tools can they use? Where can they go? When can they draw?
Yeah, you know, I like
The scout can go first, like has a 15 seconds in the beginning where they just scout out the area and like can fuck
or
up
like
the other
they can draw
players.
A sketch with a pencil or something, like they can make a plan.
Ooh, yeah. Oh my God. And whoa, this is great because we're getting into what the base role is, and then we make every quote unquote class or meta role an exception to that. So say you can only draw two colors. It's like Drawful. So only two colors, no erasing. And different classes move from there. Like, you know, where they can draw, how they can draw, when they can draw.
Yeah, you have someone who is just one color and an eraser, but they have to like team up with the other character, like the person who has two colors and no eraser. They need to go on comms and be like, oh shit, I need you to erase this part. Like, It still is a like a team based thing.
Yeah, and there's one player that can use the internet to look for pictures.
Oh,
and stuff.
Reference stuff.
Yeah,
I wish the drawing was a little better in Roll20 because this sort of chaos I think works explicitly well. And I think too, when we would play Heckheads and people would just like drop in memes and macros and shit, or someone would start drawing a map on top of this photo that was taken from some magazine or whatever, like just kind of full chaos of it, but still being artsy. I wish though that I would really love some hybrid. And I know that there are like these probably shared server drawing spaces that don't have those game aspects to it. And I think truthfully, there's not a whole lot of game aspects that are necessary for ours because the game stuff takes place in and before the drawing phase does, of like having, I wish my Photoshop could be shared. Like I have all these brushes exactly. that I've got familiar with or worked with, and they just yield better results than if I was drawing with my cursor in Roll20 that has like no kind of depth or value to it.
I also like how you described like, when we're drawing a bat, it's about how well the bat would fly versus how good the bat looks. It should always be this kind of functional, because, you know, your patron, whoever you're working for, be it the devil or many-eyed angel or what the fuck ever, the big brain case from Brain Trust, they're not interested in the beauty of it. It's like the utility of what you've made and how it functions as an object.
And I think that you could, I think there's a lot. So that makes, that's what we were talking about like 2 weeks ago, I think, where you have skills and flavors and feats and stuff that are or are not mechanical, right? Like saying, so even, you know,
I think you call them features, which
right.
I really liked.
So yeah. Instead of saying like this sword gives you +1, it says, you know, this sword guides the way when it can soak up sunlight or whatever. So you're like, okay, I don't know what that means necessarily, but I will make sure that my sword is more commonly unshielded in the sunlight or whatever. Mm-hmm. So again, to extrapolate that, like saying, how well can this bat fly? Or, I want you to make this bat the most grotesque thing that could still hold life. So you still have to consider some aspect of anatomy or biology to make it living, but you want to make it gross as fuck. So again, these aren't graded on like a skill level. They're more creative interpretations of a prompt. And I think that will make it a more even playing field and more friendly to not artists. Cause I think that those Jackbox drawing games do an excellent job of,
yeah,
it's okay that you can't draw great. No one here is expecting Da Vinci. You just, just do something funny or do something crass or like do something that will work.
Yeah. Just to like feed it back into the lore of the game. Did I say lore? I meant backstory.
Is that a swear word?
I'm not allowed to say lore anymore. My mom said, each player is on a faction and the games are spectated by everyone at the meet. So every faction has its own requirements for what they consider a good drawing. And so you're both playing for your own goals, but also each, you can get to know each faction towards the stuff they like. Maybe they agree upon what the kind of the 3 points that make art that they like, and then they give votes based on those 3 points given because it's three people.
That's great. Like, yeah, if you draw a minion, you're going to get my vote most every time. It's funny to me. So like if you know I'm on the judge panel that day or if I'm one of the people, the players present, and you draw a minion, it might not actually do anything to the prompt, but it's like you're playing to judge's favor. And that's its own, like metagame that's happening too. Of like, and it comes back to the Jackbox energy of like, you don't always have to be funny. You just have to know what your audience thinks is funny or what's going to win that vote from those people.
So one of your cards could be discover what the second judge is, one of their points are, what two of their kind of what the rubric includes.
You earn that card by doing a like 20 to 30 minute role play session on a Tuesday where you meet the judge off campus.
Yeah.
And they award you that intelligence. And whether you use it or not, that is the like card building, the deck or like the hand building aspect of Sunday's play. On Tuesday, I hung out with the judge and I learned that they think minions are hilarious. But do I equip that knowledge on Sunday? Or do I say I have 12 cards and I need to pick 4? Maybe the minion one isn't as valuable as this extra 15 seconds or this ability to do a sketch layer before I do my paint layer or whatever. Like, so in the week, you are rewarded for as much work as you're willing to put out. But there is a sort of, yeah, like a cap or min-max aspect to the actual competition. That is, how do you best use these skills and advantages and banes and boons that you've found out in between competition.
It's like such a strength of role playing too, because it doesn't have to be the actual judge. It could just be another player playing the judge and you have the card, which is a signifier for the information.
Yeah.
No matter what you found out, you know, you found out the judge likes something and you just flip that card and then whoever the current judge is at the meet, you just find out one of their rubric points.
Yeah. I like that almost troopy style or like, there's a pool of affiliated, like no one owns these characters. So
yeah,
like,
and they're just like named characters in the game. So you know that there's like a snooty German judge. And like,
right. But if we have three people on our team, like we could have two teammates and our third player act as the judge. So we still have a role-playing session.
Yeah,
that doesn't feel
exactly
empty or doesn't. And like, I imagine too, there can be, because of the modularity of everything, there can be solo ones, there can be like you just hang out with another team person, like not someone on your team, not an enemy. I guess like imagine, you know, you both went to the same school but you ended up on different teams now.
Exactly. Yeah,
so
like a rival kind of thing.
You can still hang out with them, have a role-playing session with them, and earn a card or earn something mechanical from that. So it really opens up the between competition play, that it doesn't always have to be with the same human players. You just have the league, and the league, all the players are playing as the league. But, you know, if it's given the circumstance, we only have four people in the league available at this time. And they're actually going to be three people and the three judges and one player. And the judges are going to have like a council meeting because you did something against the rules, and they're going to like rule against you, like a courtroom kind of thing. Or this week we have seven players and we're all just going to do a skirmish. No judges, no coaches, kind of free for all. And like those all just have different. I think a lot of them are freeform. I'm picturing a lot of the in-between stuff as just like, take this how you want, because the league rules, the harder rules exist in competition.
Right.
You can extrapolate some of that info. If you say like, oh, during competitions, we're not allowed to say the word lore. Like you might want to bring that into practice just because it is good practice for the competition. But because practice is not a league sanctioned event, you don't have to abide by those rules.
Yeah. And you could also play off league games like racing for pink slips, or playing like the equivalent of like full lethality. So like players die or get traded or whatever. Like there's so much, like you said, custom game stuff that you can do that can then be incorporated into the league.
Yeah, that's really really great, but I think we just kind of nailed, from watching the lady talk about Monster Energy, a full ass league play, cross competitive, modular, like horde game. Like you could have
cool live art game.
You could have an 80 player league or whatever. Like this is on this Discord has Ghost in It level of.
I think we got to make it, right?
Creative, innovative, and so expandable that people can have any kind of experience that they want. I think you're right. We do have to make it. But I think we start with, what is it, Splatter Sport?
Yeah, Splatter Sport.
And we have five, you know, brain, holy water, blood, marrow, and spider webs. And those are the five teams to start. We come up with four or five mini games, and then we have one or two like maxi games, and then we put it out into the world and let people flesh things out from there.
That's something a streamer just plays with their entire audience. Like
that's a whole nother thing too, and we touched on it really briefly of like the commissioner could be its own game. The audience is definitely a thing. I love the idea too of like, what if it's a solo, like this is something I could picture Vidya doing on his stream of like, I'm here. Yeah. I'm one player holding a press conference, and everyone in the audience is the sports journalists. Yeah, the weigh-in, or like the hype event that's before the competition.
Many
sports are so ripe with sports already have mini games, right? Like sports are this compilation of all these smaller assets that build up into a bigger spectacle, and so it's so ripe. And even if your sport is fictional and Monster Energy inspired, like all these, and I think the really novel and really great thing about what we came up with is the sport itself is almost inconsequential. I personally love the competitive drawing thing that we're on. And I think we could do a whole another hour talking about just that game. Mm-hmm. But if you just sub it out for your like ping pong championship or whatever in your fiction, the mini games don't necessarily have to change just how you enact the maxi game, just the rules of how you use the things that you learned in during the week for the weekend competition. And that's really powerful. Like I think better than normal, even we made a skeleton game that is also a meaty game, right? Like we made most of a functional paint-based warfare game, but also the skeleton is so strong that you could make it any sport that you want.
Yeah, it's like the skeleton from Poltergeist. It's just big and it's got some skin on it and it looks good.
Yeah, it's powerful. Its bones are longer than you would think.
Yeah, way longer. It's screaming. This is a screaming skeleton of a game. Well,
hell yeah.
That's what I call another episode of the Brain Trust Podcast. Where can people find you online? We're actually back.
We went from the aluminium age back to at least silver. Probably gold, I would say.
It feels gold right now. Gotta say it.
I'm on Twitter at WCGameCo. I'm on Patreon.com/WorldChampGameCo. I mentioned briefly right before my What If the Looney Tunes and Muppets Met tweet that I have the rest of the year's Patreon releases figured out, and there's some really interesting stuff that's going to happen that I'm super excited about. November's game, which I wrote yesterday and have started the art right before our call, is something that no other designer has done, I guarantee.
Oh!
It's fucked up.
Can you tease me?
Its form and function are innovative. It is
okay.
It is tied innately to its physical form.
Okay, I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah, it's a ride.
I'm Willie Ups. I'm online at will.com. I'm over here in Boston watching Mad Max movies. If you know a good Max movie, show me. I'll see you on the splatter fields. Brain emoji, handshake emoji.